All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining Project View with Q Homesteading. And thank you again for joining me and having so much faith. And BBS Radio, thank you for helping us. Hopefully you can edit out my harassment statement there. we need a new song for this show. We're making fun of it. So today we're going to talk about a couple opportunities we have to review the due diligence the PRQ team has done behind the scenes, and really a lot of proofing, make sure you feel confident when you go ahead and do your homesteading. Thank you so much for having so much faith. We're under the opinion that there's a homeless problem and or survival issues around finance, the inflationary financial systems, etc. So if there's one thing that we all are passionate about over in the clubhouse here is, you know, getting us free at a minimum so that we can pursue whatever activities we want. And I want to put a special thanks to Jane and Billy out today. Thank you so much for all the wind you've given me and how much you've helped me. And all the people that are lining up to stuff envelopes for us, I thank you so much. It's means everything to me. It's been incredibly, incredibly valuable to feel your love each and every week with your prescriptions, subscriptions. It's just fantastic that we're getting aligned and organized. I have someone helping me today. Would you like to stay nameless, or will you be somebody today?
Oh, Christopher.
So we have Christopher here today. We have quite a bit of material we're going to be talking about today, and we might have time to do phone calls. Please call in at 1-888, you might not need a 1-627-6008. Again, it's 888-627-6008. And might have some time for some calls today if you're inspired. But the reason Christopher and I were working together today is when we get involved in, you know, various counties, the process and due diligence that we experience, we want to proof it so you don't have to see the irregularities that we see and how to work with them and so forth. And that's why you may feel I'm dragging my feet on a couple of the topics and submittals. I feel by tomorrow you should have a PDF on this banner page that explains the four steps for homesteading. And then that'll be a good swath of the package that we'll represent. But the reason I have Christopher here today is we're starting to watch the system at the county level and the system at the Bureau of Land Management. They contradict each other a lot. And so I wanted to ask Christopher, and also have him explain what he's discovered when he goes and pulls title discrepancies and the nomenclature and so forth. But I don't want to tell you, Christopher, I wondered what do you think would be the most help? You know, you've done a bunch of these now as far as pulling original homesteads documents. What is the one thing you think would help people when you look at discrepancies? What are, so if we could start just at the BLM level, what discrepancies do you see? And then maybe I'll move on to the county level.
Largest discrepancy would probably be technical abilities, getting inside the BLM systems to navigate and find the actual documentations and the maps. Seems to be the most difficult thing I've come across so far. It would be user, what's the word?
So when the few times I've worked with BLM, you go to their microfiche, you query your territory, and then you hold them accountable for what territory you're going to pull. For the clerk, correct?
Yes. I think the biggest thing you're going to come across with BLM is they will not identify or understand the term parcels, which most people are familiar with, and that's nomenclature names given at the county level. So that's why I say it's difficult finding the properties within this BLM system, because you can't just say, I have this address and I have this parcel number, can you show it to me? You actually have to do your due diligence, go through the title records, and find the actual longitude, latitude of the properties. And that seems to be the most difficult thing I've come across.
Right. So when you query and you drill into their webpage, let's say if you're at home, mm-hmm. when you drill into their webpage, I've noticed on most of them that I'm reviewing, there's more than one identifier for what I assume to be the same homestead. Is that what you've been seeing as well?
Yes and no. The overlay that I see is that you have parcels that are identified by the county. If you go and you look at the map of the original land patents, you have more than one patent involved, which, long story short, would be something identified as fraud, because you've looked the way the original land patents were administered. They were forever, there's forever benefits that are associated with these land patents, and the boundaries of those were supposed to be forever assigned to the heirs and everybody that took over the land. So having more than one land patent involved with the parcel is technically fraud and something most people don't want to know or get out there.
Right. So what we were originally given land. So we're just talking about North America, but many other countries as well. So we were given land. We weren't given land. We went and possessed land and recorded it. And then as our family succession kept growing, we didn't patent it into the next heir's name. And meanwhile, J.P. Morgan and the gang decided to make counties and cities and tax you. So you're back at the same colonial problem again, and you're right back to the European model of I'm going to tax everybody to control them, control the people. Anyway, when I review all of these original homesteads, I keep looking at who's accountable for tricking us, and that's kind of what I want to talk about in relation to homeless problem. If we don't get taxed on our land and we don't sell our and subset our homestead, we don't have many problems in America. So if we would quit selling and keep, I understand we would like to move maybe, but you would always re-homestead and be a successor for the next property you would live in, and vice versa, the buyer of the legacy, your legacy home would do the same. But when I observe the succession issue, it looks to me like somebody controlled the outcome of taxation for the purpose of not educating us about succession. Now, if you don't mind, Christopher, so when we look at title companies, we look at county assessors, recorders, auditors, the whole auditing system is really, really tough for me. If we all agree that this was all supposed to be our land, and is our land, it is our planet, it is our right as beings of source, then who is actually the problem here for tricking us out of succession, would you say?
I think it would be a tandem cooperation between the bankers and the counties. They established this instrument known as a deed, which is a piece of paper that says nothing more or less than you may or may not own this property. And you need this deed, this piece of paper, in order to get money or start a mortgage up or whatever the banks or the counties want you to do with your property. However, they forget or they look past the fact that the only thing that shows that you do own that property is the title. which comes through the land grant or patent that was initiated or originated way back in the 1860s. So that piece of paper, the land grant land patent, is the only thing that says that you have title or ownership of your property. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the highest title of land ownership here, the United States, at least. So they created this thing, the deed, like I said, and ever since that, people have been duped into conveying their properties or giving easements or covenants or anything in order to get money or something that works in favor of the banks.
Yeah, right. So this is a request to everyone listening. Thank you so much. Try and find me a county assessor, recorder, or auditor's office who will prove you have title of the land. So that's the biggest thing I think. So the stamps that we're seeing on all of the county deeds, even if it's a quick claim deed when it's recorded, they're stamping statements like, give me an example. We cannot prove that you have title. We're just recording. Or
you can go to any of the county web pages and it'll say directly, like verbatim, we do not have any document that proves in fee simple or allodium that you own the land. They do not provide that document. Our job here is only to record documents that you provide.
And the assessor's office and the auditor's office, their job is to
record the paperwork that you provide them. They cannot provide anything that says that you own your house.
So that they can now tax us.
Yes.
And then when you sell again, and of course you got a nicer prize in your bucket because you sold for more, they get to audit and assess and raise taxes.
Get a percentage of doing nothing.
And now the fire department has a brand new fireplace and a TV out front.
Yes.
Don't know why we need TVs in front of firehouses. Not sure about that. Because June lost her cat.
No popcorn machine.
No popcorn machine. Yeah. We could use it as a kegger hall. There's hardly any fires anyway. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of fires, but
yes.
Oh, it's because the bad guys start fires, but okay. Anyway, moving on. The homestead. Stay on focus. Let's say we want to use the legal system. Whether it's the federal legal system or the mercantile courts or otherwise, I won't get too deep into that. But the compartmentalization of identifying title, no one's really accountable. So when you go to a title company, a title insurance company, they don't prove title either, do they? They just ensure that it's written correctly. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, you can insure almost anything in America. Title companies, from my experience, it's like the inverse of the auditors. They will only provide the documents that allege that you may or may not hold a piece of paper that says that you own the property. They never go as far as actually issue title or ownership or any of that documentation. They just provide what's been recorded by you and others in the past.
Yeah, and so I mentioned last show, we found a property that we would like to utilize for many variables, which had a third parcel attached to it where a guy says you can't use it. It's common land for both property owners sitting next to each other. And it's a very small area. It's less than an acre, maybe half an acre. Anyway, the title company could care less. You have to duke it out with your neighbor there because the neighbor filed, you can't improve this property. I made it a domicile. What was the term actually, what it was used for? It was a trust, wasn't it?
Yeah, conservation.
Conservation trust. Okay, isn't that cute? Okay, so in this case, this the owner of this property, I believe it's 72 acres or so, could not improve the property because the previous owner lived next door and he filed a trust, which is, again, another bank term, with the county saying, if you improve the property and I don't agree with it, in this case, I think it was a sport court or something, didn't want the rows of hemp they were growing to be visible to the other neighbor. So I didn't want to see rows of hemp from their house and wrote in various clauses when they sold. Well, none of that matters if you are representing a lot of title. And so when you file, in this case, this gentleman will have no way to claim against a lottl title because it's federal land. So that's the one, that's an example of one thing we are testing out now, is make you extremely powerful when you get in these kind of situations. So the term that we have to get comfortable with in the documentation with your homestead is no man, that means not gender specific, can be embarrassed on their land. So embarrassed is a legacy term for, hey, I'm so glad you have a bitch next door, but we're not chatting about this. It's my land. So we have to get comfortable with defending ourselves and just having true intentions about living and loving where we live and go from there. But again, we can't really answer our question. If we wanted to use the legal system, we don't have anyone to sue for tricking us, do we?
No, there's a shell game that they played.
Mm-hmm.
They had 9 pieces of paper, and not one silo knows what the other people's paperwork says.
Yeah, so what I've tested out over a few years with many people is you will not get a loan on a home that has been homesteaded. You will never get the banks. That's how savvy they are. Their underwriters know that they cannot foreclose on you. Or if they attempt to, it'll just take eons. And of course, we've tested one out for, I think, roughly 8 years now and done our best to get in every situation so that we could do this show. And the other question I had for you, Christopher, What are the common discrepancies you're seeing at the count, regardless of state, county recording offices?
Recording offices.
Or assessor, if you want. So they seem to be just organized enough to pretend that they're organized, but they're really not that organized, are they?
No. And they're going to use the coverall of, we only record documents, so they don't really know what's in the documents. And even ask them to interpret them, they're advised by their lawyers that, hey, we're advised not to describe or define what these documents actually say.
Yeah. Okay. So what is your opinion of the legacy 13 colonies on the East Coast? So we have BLM associated on the East Coast of North America. But the legacy land, when it was first colonized, where did you suggest everybody looks for those original homesteads?
Any lands that were patented or granted or sold prior to 1862, those documents would be found in either historical society museums, they might have documentation, or the National Archives of the state and or in D.C. I'm not very familiar with those. I've gone in maybe 3 to 6 properties. You do have to do your due diligence and know exactly where you're looking at. But it's easy to give them a call or go in person to the offices, and they're usually very helpful and can assist you in those endeavors.
Is it fair to say the BLM offices that you have worked in or been poking around with, is it fair to say they're understaffed?
Very understaffed. I went to the federal building on a West Coast location, and they are down to 4 employees for the entire BLM office. Mm-hmm. And they do a large territory. They do Washington and Oregon territories, which had many, 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 many original homesteaders.
So, yeah, the Oregon Trail, go west, young man. Could get started on that one all day. okay, so are you seeing copyright plagiarism issues at all when the banks start? So in the succession, somewhere between, we'll just round off to 1860 and now, when you go and pull a homestead, are the documents that you're seeing consistent when you're proving title? So we have you work with a forensic title expert, and I'm always surprised that from the day of lost succession of homestead to now, to current time, that they actually get the description of the territory pretty good, even though they're not looking at the original homestead. Or am I mistaken?
No, it's an accurate statement. Even though it was handwritten, a lot of the documents, they did essentially a copy and paste of the original land patent land description. There are far and few occasions where they didn't copy and paste it exactly, but my theories as why they did that. Because you get one word difference, or you get use a short description, Southwest versus SW. Legally speaking, you can contest it. We're not talking about the same land description.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. That's
okay. Okay, so I noticed that most of them are written in calligraphy, and I noticed some of the words have different meanings than today. Would we call that plagiarism? Indirect, we could call mistakes, but have the banks used that to their benefit? It's my opinion that some of these title reports I'm going through, they've flipped some words on us.
They have, and I'm going to say, long story short, that it usually works in their favor because they can contest or argue that we're not talking about the same property, or we are talking about this property, depending on which sides the banks want to favor. So it can work in their favor. It can also work in not in their favor.
Right. Okay. So the short version with that one is county courts don't count if you have a federal land pad, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's all mute, and you can now arrest the sheriff if he comes and forecloses on you, etc. We'll get into that in another show. So BBS, I'll go ahead and try and take some. Is there any other topics you think we should bring up today? You had some other things?
No, we're going to emphasize we do have those documents coming out. Step one would be something to emphasize on, just understanding what a deed is, I guess, would be. I'm going to give out homework and walk along with the process with you. So understand what a deed is. There's several types of deeds that you'll come across. Warranty deed, statutory deed, quitclaim deed. Knowing those words, that vocabulary actually helps you to reverse the process. So that's what I would recommend for today.
When you when we look at the different styles, so as we transition to a successor, I'm under the opinion quitclaim deed is the most efficient to do owner direct sales and or transitions to succession. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's one better than quit claim deeds?
No. In a nutshell, quit claim deed is the alleged owner of the property quits all claims, ends all claims to that property, and it's pretty much the fastest way for you to just move forward with your process. So they end their rights and any kind of privileges to the property at that moment in time when they sign it.
Yeah, it's really easy. I suggest when you do go to a title and escrow companies, they usually will do that for free for you, show you how to write it, because they would like the business in most cases for escrow or title insurance. So in most cases, the clerks are, you know, I don't know which one you would use in your geography, but most of them will sit down with you and say, hey, can you coach me on how to write a quitclaim deed for this? In this case, you're going to go from a parcel to a lot of title. And they usually are real good about it if you have all the documentation. But go ahead and take some calls, BBS, if you guys are willing. Thanks a lot for sending that over. So Sharon from Texas, thank you for calling in. It's a privilege and an honor to talk to you. Need help homesteading in Texas. Sharon, please, what's your question?
Oh, hello, Q. So good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you again. Well, I'm going to call you the fly girl. Fly girl.
You're going to call me the what?
You're the fly girl. You're the girl with planes.
Yes. That's one of my hats. Yes, it is. My question is twofold. I have a 20-acre ranch, which I now possess the certified copy of my land grant, and I've gotten into the weeds a bit in Texas, and I see that, you know, go to the general land office, and these two pieces of paper that I'm holding are land grants of 160 acres. So I'm on that warpath, and I would love to be a guinea pig in Texas to figure out how to do this with my own property. But I have found a property, And I don't know if this is premature to talk to you about, but oh, I absolutely fell in love with it. And I'm trying, I'm learning to move forward with my heart without the factors of time or space or money. So it feels really weird to me, but I'm okay. Can I share with you what I have found?
Yeah, let's see. Yes, this is for everybody. So any and all experiences we have on the topic is why I want to take the calls. So we'll all learn together and see what where we can standardize efficiency opportunities and so forth. Please tell us what you got going on.
Okay, so without thinking, I started researching for glorious ranches here in Texas. I found one. It's in East Texas, very patriotic, you know, beautiful area in Texas. I love the place. Massive pine trees. And it's 1,100 acres. It has a 400 square foot stone and wood lodge they were going to build as a retreat center. It has 7 miles of tie fencing, which the original owners wanted to make a safe haven for exotic deer and whitetail. So they were into this to make this a beautiful, peaceful slice of heaven, in my opinion. It's absolutely gorgeous. Without thinking, I made an appointment to view the land, you know, with the realtor, with the assistant realtor. And then she booked me for Thursday. I went and saw it Thursday, but she texted right back and said, we need to see proof of funds first because it's listed at $13 million. And I, without thinking, I said, oh, I'm sorry, you don't use funds. Do you know President Trump? Do you know the QT Mall? I'm with Q. I hope it's okay that I said that. I said, I'm kind of with one of the teams with Q, and we're interested in this property for the people. And she goes, okay, I'll say you're a group of investors then. So I went out there, and they allowed me to come and enter. And I'll tell you, it was just as spectacular to see the land as it was to see the 5 or 6 people that come with the land. Talk about synchronicity. This land, it was never been lived in. The woman got sick in 2020, moved to Costa Rica, and never came back. So an attorney and a used car lot owner snatched this up as a fire sale 2 years ago, and they have turned this beautiful, they want to turn this land into a hunting facility, which has horrified the original owners, needless to say. So anyways, I did a bunch of commands driving back, pushed back the storm of descending aliens on this property. There is a group from Brazil that already had a contract on it. They want to turn it into a feedlot, basically a death camp for cattle. There's another group of investors that want to turn it into a development, you know, subdivision and all. The realtor, the main realtor, told me that this is the last swath of land that's a continuous 1,000 acres left in East Texas. He manages large ranches and all. So this, needless to say, it's 400 acres of rolling hills, 3 beautiful fishing lakes. It would be, I looked at all of my projects, all 8 or 9 of them that I've submitted, every single one of them would be beautifully in synchronicity with this land. And I've got the collaboration center, which I'm now calling a collaboration retreat center. The lodge was built to host large volumes of people. And the creative learning center would be in one area. As I got talking with the realtor, she was having trouble pulling the surveys because I want to pull those on Monday. Her brother's a surveyor. So we started talking about that. She's part of the East Texas Homesteaders Group. So we started talking about that. Beautiful platform to give people their land back and start launching this in Texas. Her husband, she goes, is it okay if my husband comes and his father? Because they need to meet you. I don't know what I was saying to her on the phone, but I kind of shook her up a bit. I guess she goes, oh, we got to talk. He said to me, I bought the eye. He goes, something has caught on fire inside, Sharon. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do with it, but it's contagious because everybody around me is catching this fire within, and we're so thirsty. Use that word, thirsty for the truth. And I just smiled at him like, you know, the top of the phrase, he's airborne. I looked at him, I said, you're a light beam. We found each other. So, you know, in meeting this group, you know, it would be a place where we could set up a retreat center and be in the homesteaders group and Truth Warrior Project. You know, I sent that one in. The father-in-law came to see part of the Republican Party of Texas, and he's the leader in one of the precincts there. He has a podcast and wants me to start speaking on it with him.
Sharon, that'd be a wonderful podcast. Sharon, that is incredibly exciting. Can I ask, do you mind if we ask you a couple questions?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
I know you are. Yes. Now I'm excited. Let's get excited. Okay, so quick question. The group you mentioned that is running homesteads, Eastern Texas, can you get them on? You think you can get them on the call with us one of these days?
Oh, yes, except they grouped together 2 years ago, and they call themselves the East Texas Homesteaders Group. They raise barns for each other. And
okay, well, go ahead. And I'm going to help them with goats. Yeah, we'll just do lessons learned with them. But we had another question for you. Did you get around proving proof of funds when you went to go?
Yes, I did. Okay. I said I'm with Q and the Q team. So, and I didn't know you.
Did you? Is it because you're good at sales, or is this just phony baloney topic? Do realtors bring much value to the process? They're almost a hindrance. They're very good at marketing through the computer. But I'm not real impressed with the real estate industry when it comes to both representing the buyer and the seller, is our opinion anyway. But hey, that is a great call. That is a great experience. I will follow up with you directly and learn about your progress. But look on the banner for Project View Q Homestead. There'll be a PDF there. It'll be all four steps you need. It's a little wordy, but I'll work through it here. I just want to get everyone the upload published, and then we'll work on it again next week. Thank you so much, Sharon, for your call. Forgive me, I have a lot of callers I want to get to. Yeah. My beautifulness to you and your beautifulness to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Keith.
All right. That's great. It's really fun to see advances. So we haven't been at this very long, and we're already getting some good advances, and so you can learn from everybody else's. But what you'll find with Sharon there is she's doing things that like excite her while she's going through the process of these intrinsics and granularity. It can be really fun if your heart is motivated for the space that you want to go and participate in. So when you want to save your house that you don't really like and you're going to homestead, it is way different than I can't wait to have a desert island in the Bahamas or something like that. Being a little facetious there, but it's really about your true intentions. Really make these things flow really well. So that's my great encouragement. All right. Mike and Leah from Michigan. Question received. Land patent for next steps. Mike and Leah, Princess Leah, be there.
Hi, Q. How are you?
Hi, Q.
Can you hear us?
Yep. Can.
Okay, so we've got some good news. Huh? We received 15 copies of land patents in the mail this week. Mm-hmm. One which is including our collaboration community center. So we're super excited about that. And then we got a response yesterday from BLM, from the one I sent like a month ago, that they are glad to help with the patents that we need. They just needed our phone number, which we did send when we talked to the receptionist, but that's okay. I think that we're going to be all set with getting those.
So whoever the PRQ team member was last week, when you talked about him striking a key with him, he must have done something because they were right on it this week.
So that's exactly what I need you guys to do for me. So if you don't tell me where the problems are, I can't shake the tree. So that, thank you so much for allowing me to get a little momentum going there. And so the customer service is improved a bit, has it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So we feel...
Go ahead,
Stanley. So we feel that we have enough with... Okay, so we feel like we have enough with the 15 copies already to start, because we can start helping hundreds of people. Do you think that's fine to start with that, or would you rather us pick up the rest of our county first, or could we just go ahead and start with the ones that we have?
Yeah, so forgive us, but we're working hard to make sure we don't stomp on any trademarks and processes, so that I don't get you guys in more trouble than I'm already in. So I love testing all these things out and then making us confident when we do it. So today there's been a PDF sent over to BBS Radio. And so on that banner of PRQ team, you'll be able to look at all four steps. Again, the sequence of events are extremely important. And then when we have video conferencing capability, I'll go through all four of those steps. So we're still working on making sure nobody, we don't live in fear, but we do know people who do. So we want, I'm just going to go all in here and start another conference room if we can't do this globally. But that's the real goal. I want you to get those PDFs, and it should be really easy. And then the next steps, we'll give you the sample, we'll put the PDF, the sample of homesteads that have been successful. And that case law is very valuable. And then the third step outside of processing your homestead would be showing you how to defend it. And so that's the one I'm a bit of laggard on, because we wanted to proof those out. Again, with the documents to cite someone who comes on your land or tries to foreclose you, those documents need to be really strong. And the strength in them is learning legalities of federal law. And not everybody, we need to make sure we have a nice, easy way for people to read through it, the layman, because the way lawyers communicate is kind of tough sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and it's almost designed to trick us so we can't communicate. Of course it is. So, yeah, look for that PDF. If it's not up today, it'll be up most likely tomorrow. But that'll give you all four steps, and then we'll go ahead and start really putting the hammer down here and have a little fun here. Thank you so much for your call, and I'm so thrilled. Virginia is a big one, you guys. Well done. Well done. Virginia is huge. Great. Thanks for getting that BLM sorted out. Thank you. I'll go on to the next call, BBS. So, thank you, Mike. Yeah.
Can I
all
ask? Right.
BBS, thank you so much. All right. So people listening, it pains me to cut you guys off. I want to talk to everybody. And so the demand here is growing. So we'll go ahead and do our best to grab another hour or two in the future, and keep pushing on me so that I know how much more time we need to add to these calls, because clearly we're not getting through all the calls. So thanks a lot. The reason this is a really important information is these people live in Michigan and the BLM office is in Virginia. So think about how big that BLM office is, what territories it covers. And that's all the governance you used to have. You had the BLM, and then you had George Washington fighting the colonials. So we've gotten pretty big for our britches all of a sudden, haven't we? All right, how are we doing on time here? Okay, we've got a few minutes here. Let's move on to Lee and Doug from Virginia. Questions about the process for the original colony states pre-formation of the states. Lee and Doug, great question. Can't wait to hear this one. Lee and Doug, are you there?
Hello, Q. Nice to be with you.
My love to you. Glad to be with you.
Yes, I am in Virginia and have gone through the process of obtaining copies of the original land grants from the king through our governor at the time. And of course, these were written before the Revolutionary War, the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the Treaty of Paris. So my question is, do we work off of these original grants, which predated the establishment of our country, or am I looking for the land documents that were held by an individual during the establishment of our country?
What's your opinion?
I have not come across one of these documents. I'd be interested to see one. Everything I've come across that's outside the BLM were documents that were related to grazing rights and or mineral rights, and the patents were established through those. I've not seen predated, pre-constitutional documents.
Yeah, and it's interesting the counties have taken some kind of quasi-jurisdiction and said, oh, that's a farmland. We're going to tax you different than what would be an ag land or a mineral land. They're giving it its own nomenclature so they can tax different rates. I mean, that's what we saw in one county, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's an abuse of that. That's fraud in itself. So that land is used for growing alfalfa gets taxed differently than digging up diamonds. I mean, this is silliness. And anyway, why don't you put that on our list and we'll get back to you next week. I think I missed some action items from last week, though, by the way. Maybe not. Yeah, why don't we dig into that one? So what area are you proposing to homestead? Give me a county, if you don't mind.
Chesterfield County.
Say it a little slower and a little stronger.
Chesterfield County, Virginia.
Okay, we got it. So thanks a lot. Let's see if I can get that knocked out this week as well, and I'll give you a straight answer.
Okay, and I have one thing to share from Carrie's group, and we wanted to let you know we have all 50 states covered.
Right on. Looks like we got some people who want to get something done.
I think so.
We can't wait to defer our workload to you. I knew you guys would show up. I was waiting. Like, I give hints, I give a couple clues. Sure enough, here we go. I love it. So, who are we going to arrest on this deal, man? Do we just run into the sunset, or do we take names? That'd be a timeline thing, wouldn't it? All right, I'm going to make you the governor of the entire country soon.
All right.
How many governors do we need? That's my joke. How many governors do we need? I think we can take care of ourselves. Thank you for the call. Beautiful call. Thank you, BBS. Okay, BBS says people are kind of quiet, so FYI, I don't know what that means, but I think we got to talk right into the mic and be real, have great intentions. Jenny from Sweden, thank you for calling back for the 75th time you got through. Questions about homesteading in Sweden. Jenny from Sweden, are you there?
Hi, Q. How are you doing? Hi, Q. I'm
very
here.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Very clear. Wow, Sweden's coming in strong today. Thank you so much.
So I've been listening to all your homesteading shows, and I seem to really have a difficulty to understand the technical language that you are using and to translate it to Swedish. And I kind of want to do a shout out. Is there anyone anywhere who's listening that can help me with translating? And to make it to the Swedish versions, because it's really hard. And I have found three title deeds on my land, and I have just requested three copies, a copy for them. And I hope they're going to be the right title deeds. And so if there's anyone that can help me, I don't even know what BLM is in Swedish version. So it's kind of hard. I don't even know where to go with my title deeds.
Yep, we understand. We understand. Completely different in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, etc. Okay, so we have we're using America as the model, but yes, your definitions are going to be different in the Northern European countries. We have someone assigned to coach us on how to communicate concurrent in parallel and concurrence with what we're doing here in America. And Christopher here knows that person. So that's exactly the kind of call I want. I'm having trouble. I don't know how to translate at the same time. So just know every time you guys call in, PRQ is looking at it, addressing it, and taking action. And some items we might not be able to take action because it doesn't inspire us maybe, but for the most part, we're gonna take every time you guys call in with questions, concerns, we're gonna do something with it. So thank you for that. Any other questions?
Yeah. I really want to go get forward now, and it seems hard for me to do it to come forward right now. So that would be a good help. And if there's any Swedish listeners that want to get in contact, I would love to kind of start a network in Sweden. I don't know if there is, but if there is, I would love to get in contact with them if that's possible too.
Okay. So what I'm hoping for, Bergen or a bigger town, what town are you in?
I'm in a small town in Dalarna. It's called Grängesberg.
Okay.
It's a hard word for you. Grängesberg is the word.
Not if you're Swedish. okay. So, let's see how we do this week, and I'll move on to the next caller. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can get one more in. What are we doing for time? How are we doing for time? What is time anyway? I'm always on time. Okay, we got 9 to go, it looks like, plus or minus. Let's see if we can get this one in. Miss Christine from Nevada, question. Urgent case, trustee sale date is ending soon. Needs to know next what the next step is after she is homesteaded. Is this the same... Christine.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, hi, Q. Okay, so just for the audience, I called a couple weeks ago because I'm actually in the foreclosure process, trustee sale to happen this week. I went ahead and immediately do the homestead, like you said last week. I found some declarations of acceptance online and basically copied it and just filled it in with my name. However, I was hesitant to go record it with the county. I asked them if they do the recordings of the acceptance, and they said you would have to take it to the main office, submit it. It would be a 48 turnaround time to approve it before they can actually record it, because it's not something that they typically do.
Yeah, garbage. Okay.
I could go and do that. However,
let me hold you right here. With great respect and appreciation, can you go ahead and send in an email saying, I was told to call you this week?
I did.
Just put that, okay. With this subject matter in it. Okay, so now this is, and then can make sure your phone number is in there. Again, I don't do any administrative work, but the rest of the gang will look at this. Let's get one more email from you, if you don't mind. I talk to you on the radio, call me, and then we'll take it up. So let me make sure I understand those so we can be of service to the people also listening here. We went into foreclosure with the nasty bank. And the nasty bank wants to have a trustee sale. Is that correct?
Yes. So they posted
trustee sale has occurred or has not occurred?
It's supposed to occur this week.
Okay. So now what usually happens in this case is the dirty bank will now sell the debt to another bank. Now you're in real estate. You've probably seen this a lot. Is that the model they're going to do?
Typically, they auction it. It goes to the highest bidder.
Which is another dirty down bank, which is not really an auction now, is it? Because they've made friends with their gang, and they all take turns auctioning because they can only hold so much debt, or they have to get more debt. Is is pretty much your interpretation, correct?
You're absolutely right. It's the lender, and then it's the people at the legal news team. They probably have their inside people.
Yeah, so the auction, the person winning the auction is actually the same guy at the end of the day, because they're all hiding the P with debt. All right, so this is, you're in a really good position because you're way ahead of the game. First of all, the eviction process is very slow. Let's just say you do, let's say you do everything wrong. You just sat on the couch. You know how long it takes to get evicted, which you should not be scared of. It's scary though, okay. Isn't it? It's scary though, isn't it?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Well, it is very scary, but in my case, I'm not scared.
Okay. So we should be able to have, let's go. And this is a Clark County. This is, forgive me. I have a lot of counties on my mind. This is which county?
Clark.
Clark. It is Clark. Okay, great. All right. So Clark County can't stop you from recording. So there's your first. So if anyone stops you from recording at the assessor's office, the recording office, you have to get them to say why in a document and get someone to sign it. Do you have another opinion?
No, I do know.
Okay.
That
now, do you?
So there's no 48-hour period.
Yeah, it has to be timestamped and dated. No one can say you can't do this. Now, when we have done it, we don't do a lot of chit-chat at the counter. Hey, I need to record this is about all we do. Hi, I'm about ready to screw this whole thing up for everyone. We don't do that. So, you know, I know it's, you know, these are nice people. They're very kind people, but their job is just to record and assess your land value. So you're a bulldog. You got this?
I have a concern. If I record that document and then the bank goes to do a loan mod, will they not do the loan mod? Because you had mentioned earlier they won't give you a loan if they see that homestead or declaration of land patent. Will that affect
Great.
Me?
I love this question. So you'd like to go in debt again?
No.
Okay, so let's not do that. This is where the bravery comes in. Does the bank want their money? Boy, they sure do. But it's not their land. They never had title.
Okay.
So that's why I have to work going forward here, how to teach defending that statement. And it's very easy to do, but we have to get really smart. We have to get real wise about understanding the federal terms instead of county and mercantile courts. So the question is, yes, you're going to have a big, tough time remodifying your loan when you process this homestead. You're going to have a real tough time.
My concern is if I process the declaration of land patent, it's not like valid once I record it, is it? Because there's a 60-day period for anyone to challenge, but
yep, you got to put your sign up. Yep. Look at the PDF that'll be put up, and then we'll go talk through this with you this week, if that's all right.
Yay. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So thanks for this one. I love this one. Thank you for being so brave, and thank you for your call. So I'm going to call it a day for Project View with Q Homesteading. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. Thank you, Christopher.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Sure are flamboyant. Anyway, not all of us are in entertainment. So looks like, there's a great need to expand, this conference, room to, you know, maybe a couple more hours a week, and we are working on that. But go ahead and make sure you get a good look at that PDF that we're putting up, and bug us if you don't see it. And we love you very much. And I'll move on to the next show, which is Timelines. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you, BBS Radio. Please keep calling. Keep your prescriptions going. We need you to keep this thing rolling. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for so much love from you all. Good day.